Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's January the 26th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services in Bloomington, Illinois. And we'll discuss the cash grain market today with Bill Mayer. He's at the Grain Elevator located in Lexington, Illinois. In agricultural news, the WTO will rule in October on a complaint charging the U.S. wrongly imposes $117 million in punitive damages. The Illinois Department of Agriculture, along with the EPA, has completed a meeting on building ethanol plants in the state. Analysts expect 70 new plants will need to come online nationwide in the coming years to meet the 7.5 billion gallon demand base mandated by the federal government in 2012. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. And then just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day will join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Peter Levitt is away for the afternoon. Stay with us, won't you, for this Thursday edition of your Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the wheat pit like this. The March contract at 344.5, they were up 2.5 cents. May futures at 355.75 in Chicago, up 3. Kansas wheat, March contract 395.5, up 4.5 cents for the day. From the corn pit, March contract 217, they finished 0.5 higher. The May futures up 3/4 at 226.75. And July corn at 235.75, up 3/4. September futures 243.25, up 1. Soy complex, March contract 573, up 6. The May's at 584.5, up 6.5. And July futures at 594.75, up 6.25 for the day. November beans 606, they were up 5.5 cents. Bean meal, March contract 180.30, up 190. Bean oil 21.51 for the March, and they were off a penny for the day. From the Mercantile Exchange, January feeder cattle down 7.5 cents, 113.25. February live cattle at 94.95 were up a nickel, and the February lean hogs 17.5 lower today at 57.17.5.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services in Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about this marketplace and what the technical trends might be for the corn, and then we'll move to the beans.
Higher.
That's short.
Yeah, I think, we started the sideways to higher climb right after Thanksgiving break there last December, late November. That rally strengthened pretty good through the month of December and went on into an early January high. We had a setback here in the middle part of January. A lot of the decline started before the crop report, but then the January crop report kind of added some bearishness to the market, so the market then drifted on down for a few more days. It held critical support levels, turned around, and took on to the upside here this week. So when you start connecting the late February low with your middle January low, you got a sideways to higher trend in place. A lot of your contracts have poked out that early January high, especially your back-end months. If you look at December, and I think July took out that January high. Now, the March has not quite done that yet. We got to go above 21. But when you look at overall chart action on the corn, you got to say that the sideways to higher trend that unfolded during the month of December is back on track again.
Is this part and parcel of the, and I don't know whether I want to call this fundamental, but a weather scare that's been developing in the Southwest and Texas, and the extreme drought that the drought monitors have showed and has been expanding over the last couple of weeks, if you watch that drought monitor?
Well, I think that's part of it. Wheat has definitely been reflecting that dryness and worries of pulling down the hard red winter wheat crop. So wheat has been in a much stronger technical position, a much stronger sideways to higher climb, and you know, you can only hammer corn so much before it begins to, before sideways to higher climb can help out the corn market. But what's driving the corn market is very similar to what drove the bean markets a year ago, is that your long-term visuals, and what I mean visuals, supply-demand balance sheets, inventory levels and demand levels, you can see at least the visuals begin to see some supply-demand tightening. Now, we're not going to run out of inventory anytime soon, but there is supply-demand tightening taking place. You had the Argentina corn crop got dinged up during the dry November-December period, so you've got less export competition from Argentina. You've got the high input costs likely to shave corn acres. Now, it's debatable how much, but we do see corn acres coming down. Where we have not necessarily replenished our soil moisture values levels from last year's dryness. We're still in a generally dry pattern. So you can begin to trace out some balance sheets that show that there is supply-demand tightening taking hold in corn, and if that's the case, then it's the function of the market then to take that into account with higher prices, and what that higher price does is in one sense maybe discourages demand in one sense, and it maybe encourages production on the other hand. Now, I don't think corn has moved enough in the last week to really do much, but it is in that direction. That is in that trend, and that is, I know everybody had a tough time with the bean market last year, but I think that is what's happening in the corn market.
So if you look back, and we talk about this just a bit, last year we were faced with, coming into this, a 2.1 billion bushel carryover into the current crop. Now we're faced with a 2.4, and as I'm looking at the chart, let's see, that December contract in January was trading where? I've got it too far down. It looks like it was in that $1.95 area about this time last year, but we're, well, 25 cents
above that. No, I think you must be looking at the wrong chart. I don't think it was that cheap, but I do know a year ago probably.
Now, Dees Corn 06.
Oh, Dees 06. Well, you need to kind of compare it to probably Dees 05 if you kind of want to compare apples to apples.
Sure.
And I don't know.
You don't have that one probably in front of you. You may have the one in your weekly, I suppose.
Well, yeah, I could say, let me pull it up here. I got December.
Well, I guess the point I suppose
here
is that when you started to look at this, and you talked about being in the same place as we were last year with the soy complex, and the soy complex was driven in part by the index funds making a move in that marketplace this year, as we've heard earlier this week, with the greater volumes, I think record volume in the corn and the wheat pit, both DBC, which is Deutsche Bank, coming in with a brand new index fund they introduced last week and starting to buy these two products. And I suppose that's part of what this is. And you see then a larger, longer vision where we start to tighten up. Do we come back to 2.1 billion on the carryout, and is 220 something that's worthwhile to, as a price there? It seems like still a burdensome supply and a fairly good price.
Well, you don't want to get too complex.
Okay.
You got to keep in mind these index funds are betting on something to happen. I mean, this is the time you place your bets. You place your bets thinking that this world has enough factors out there, whether it's an active hurricane season to come in and ding up the Gulf again, whether or not it's political chatter about nuclear warheads in the Mideast, it's political chatter about dry weather influences in the Southern Plains, it's what happens if crude oil runs to $100. How does that impact production prospects? We are in an environment that is very, very noisy and very, very volatile versus what we were in maybe in the late 90s and the first couple years here prior to 9/11. But ever since 9/11, things have changed dramatically. And what the index funds are looking at is they're saying that these are relatively cheap prices compared to historical price ranges when you look at a 20-year chart or a 30-year chart, and says, hey, you know, there's a lot of things out here that could go wrong. I'm going to place my bets that something is going to come along and make this thing work. And if guys wait around for the fundamentals to verify that, you know the move is over with. It's too late. So this is how the market is playing the game. Now, you know, the concern here is if things don't happen at some point in time down the road, well, then this index funds are going to have to liquidate their positions, and then we pay the price on the downside. But right now, until we get the new crop planted, like I told the group the other night up here in Normal at the Bates Commodities meeting, is that you can spend about anything you want right now. Somebody could come out and say this spring is going to be dry. We'll be lucky to get half the crop germinated. The next guy might come out and says it's going to be so wet we're not going to get it planted till June 15th. So you can spend anything. Or the next guy says that oil prices are going to go to $100 and farmers ain't even going to be able to get their diesel fuel to plant the crop. So we're in an environment that just about anything can go right now, and that is what stirs the pot and stirs up ownership interest, and it goes on the fears of the marketplace of, you know, golly, you know, this is pretty cheap corn. If something would happen, you know, I need to maybe have a bin of that around if I'm a big cattle feeder or if I'm a big end user. So that's what's going on, Todd.
That's interesting. I went back and looked up the December contract for 05, and it was at 195.5 the week of January the 17th, and it didn't really change much the following week either. Just out of interest, I was taking a look at it. So tell me about the soy complex then, because it's been going the opposite direction.
Well, it has this week until today. The bean complex is, whereas corn was in the position of beans a year ago, of supply-demand tightening, beans are probably in corn's position of a year ago. No matter which way you look at the balance sheet, it's hard to visualize supply-demand tightening at this point, because we're looking at generally favorable conditions out of South America. We're looking at a 500 million bushel carryout this year, and farmers are planning on maybe adding 2 to 4 million acres of soybeans despite that supply bearishness. So it's sitting over here watching corn and wheat take off to the upside. And my guess is, and this is the big debate, is the corn market and the wheat market strong enough to pull soybeans along, or at least hold them where they're at? And see, if you look at last year's price action, when beans took off, beans were strong enough to hold corn from really going lower, and it actually pulled it along a little bit. So that's where what we got going on here, I think, in the beans. The visuals can change in a hurry. I mean, we're still going to be sensitive to that South American weather forecast. But what we have this year is what took everybody to the cleaners last year, was index funds. And a lot of the hedging crowd, the inventory boys, are scared to death to sell into this thing, thinking that the index funds are going to take them to the cleaners like they did last year. So all of this talk about being overvalued, that's all bear talk. Actually, the index funds will tell you this stuff is undervalued, and therefore that's why they are wanting to be buyers of it. And you know, if things go wrong, if energy prices go up, or if the weather, if that dry weather in the southern plains expands on into the western half of the Corn Belt, and we only produce 80% of a crop next year, well, this stuff is well undervalued. So that's part of the market. It's all spin at this time. If things go well this summer, we get it planted well, and we get a good June rain, it could be a real meltdown, because there's a lot of inventory around here that will be funneled into the market during a 30 or 60-day window. It'll be very similar to what happened last year, you know, once the crop was was made, Todd.
Hey, Dan, you were thinking the corn prices were higher on the new crop December last year, and I was actually looking at a near-term weekly futures market, although I was in the Dease contract.
Yeah, I think Dease corn a year ago this time was probably in the 223s or 25s or something like that, maybe.
230 and a quarter. Was
230 and a quarter, okay. So we're 20 cents higher than what we were a year ago. Beans are actually higher than where they were a year ago. And the fundamentals, if you look at supply-demand fundamentals, they really haven't changed a lot. If anything, they've gotten worse. So I guess from a economist's point of view, why are we higher today than what we were a year ago, Todd, with more supplies?
You're the economist, I'm not.
That's why we got a whole bunch of economists out here trying to figure out why things do what they do.
Well, we'll keep talking about it and see if we can get it done. Thanks, Dan. I appreciate it.
Okay, Todd.
Dan Zwicker is with AgriVisor Services. He's out of Bloomington, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Thursday afternoons.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at LincolnLandAgriEnergy.com.
At the bottom of the hour, Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming will join us for a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Mike Sola forecast for the two-state region tonight looks like this. In western Illinois, it'll become mostly cloudy. Elsewhere, clear to partly cloudy. Lows, says Mike, from 25 in northeastern Indiana to near 40 in the west-central parts of Illinois. Tomorrow, he says, in Illinois, it'll be partly sunny. In Indiana, mostly sunny early with some increasing cloudiness during the afternoon. Highs tomorrow from 45 in the far north to 58 in the far south. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, a World Trade Organization dispute panel now says it will rule this October on a European Union complaint against continued retaliatory trade sanctions by the U.S. and Canada involving beef sales. The EU says it's now in compliance with a WTO ruling that found the EU in violation of international trade rules by refusing to import U.S. and Canadian beef produced with growth hormones. The U.S. and Canada continue to impose punitive duties on EU imports. U.S. duties on the EU are almost $117 million a year. A report issued by the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative says the European Union's offer on agriculture market access made at last month's ministerial meeting in Hong Kong says it does not deliver substantial improvement. The report also concludes that the EU's low level of ambition, and this is a quote, threatens the ability to deliver meaningful results for the Doha Round. U.S. Trade Representative Rob Portman says that a free trade agreement between the U.S. and Panama is stuck on the thorny issue of agricultural products. Panama has identified corn, rice, and sugar as sensitive products in the negotiations. The Illinois Department of Agriculture and the EPA conducted workshops yesterday for those interested in building an ethanol plant in Illinois. EPA Director Doug Scott.
We think it's great that there will be additional ethanol production in this country based on the federal law that passed and just based on what consumers are demanding. So what we wanted to do was we wanted to get together with ag and try to answer as many questions as we could for companies that are interested in building a plant and communities that are interested in having an ethanol plant there to kind of take some of the mystery out of it, to try to simplify the permitting process for them as much as we can.
Analysts say the nation needs 70 new ethanol production facilities to reach the renewable fuel standard mandated in the energy bill, 7.5 million gallons annually by 2012. Proponents of renewable fuels say it's necessary to streamline the process to get ethanol plants up and running. Dick Breckenridge is Illinois EPA Agricultural and Rural Affairs Advisor.
We're able to engage earlier, have the discussion, get that permit, process started earlier. And I think we've been able to take at least 2 months off of what was typical in the past. So here again, we want to engage earlier, have that discussion. We can then help that industry move forward and get that plant on the ground in Illinois.
Illinois Director of Agriculture Chuck Harkey says the state has exactly what new ethanol startups need: corn capacity and transportation infrastructure. But Harkey acknowledged other states have the same, and competition for new plants will be intense. Harkey says there's a narrow window to attract new ethanol plants to Illinois.
This is a race against time, and time is money, and money is jobs. And so we need those jobs here in Illinois. We need that expansion. We want to meet that market, and you strike while the iron's hot, so to speak. And right now, ethanol is hot, and we want to do everything we can from a governmental side to encourage these investments, to encourage these plants to be put online. And again, we're dependent upon world markets, transportation up and down the river to get our exports out. And the river's low, and Katrina, and all these things just begs for the use of that raw product, the corn and soybeans, right here in Illinois. Why bother shipping it? Why bother sending it off to other countries? Let's keep it here. Let's add value. Let's add jobs right here in Illinois.
The latest numbers from the Renewable Fuels Association says the U.S. is producing an average of 269,000 barrels of ethanol a day. That's more than 4 billion gallons annually.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. You can join Dave along with Kurt Kimmel, Clayton Pope, Dan Zwicker, and Paul Cooley tonight at the Vermilion County Farm Bureau building in Danville, Illinois at 7 o'clock for another one of our WILL AM 580 Ag Outlook panels. And you probably ought to make that one this evening. Again, it's the Farm Bureau office in Danville at 7 o'clock this evening. Joining us now to take a look at what happened in the cash grain market is Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing. He's in Lexington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Bill.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Kind of an interesting discussion we had with Dan about the corn market this afternoon. Are you of a mind that anything could set this market off and make it go higher?
Well, I think there's a lot of nervousness out here in the corn market. I sure do. I would agree with Dan on that, and I think that we're just not totally convinced whether these yields that everybody's using in these balance sheets are necessarily a given. Maybe not as sure as we were last fall anyhow.
You mean not the coming yields, but the from last fall's yields?
No, I mean the yields that the
harvested
and the analysts are projecting for this coming year.
Oh, for the coming year.
The trend yields. I think some of them are looking at those and realizing that we have, you know, within the last 5 years had some yields pretty substantially below those projected yields.
And so you're of a mind then that there could be a higher market. And how do you do, what do you do if you're a farmer and you've got old crop in the bin yet?
Well, I think one of the keys here is still that until you get most of the corn out of the hands of the producer, you typically aren't going to see the market make any big moves anyhow. And I think that's true now, and what you're seeing is you saw, you know, the first time we got up here to $2 cash or in that area, we saw a big movement of corn. Yesterday we saw big movement, but not nearly as big as the first time, and that's typical. As we move forward here, we may have to get this market a little bit higher to get some additional bushels out of farmers' hands.
I see on the Central Illinois bid now we're at, what, about 201.5? What are you there?
That's about where we are, 201.
And then on your beans, where are you?
546.
And that would be just about what's showing up on the Farm Dock site at 543.5 on their average off the Farm Dock website. And you're okay with farmers holding on now?
Well, I think that assuming that you made some sales on these last two moves up here, yes.
Okay, and anything else before I let you go for the day?
No, I think keep an eye on the bean basis, because with the bean price at the levels it is and some carry that's developed in the bean market, I think it's going to be hard for the processor to buy beans here in the nearby.
Bill, we appreciate you being with us.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bill Mayer is with Roach Ag Marketing. He joined us from the Lexington, Illinois office. In just about 2 minutes, we'll take a look at the ag weather with Don Day. Your local newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. George Ryan's racketeering and fraud trial has been put on hold as the prosecution's last major witness, FBI agent Raymond Rubinson, took an emergency personal leave for a family matter. Jurors in Chicago today were told to take a four-day weekend and be ready for the former Illinois governor's trial to resume Monday. Prosecutors, however, said it was unclear whether that would happen. Congressman Tim Johnson says the practice of domestic spying without a warrant needs to be reined in. The Urbana Republican disputes Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez's claim that Congress was aware of the scope of the wiretapping authorized by the Bush administration without a warrant. Johnson says such spying should only be done in the most, quote, extenuating circumstances. A bill that would ban protests near funeral services passed an Illinois House committee today, despite concerns about restricting free speech rights. The bill comes in response to protests by a Kansas church at the military funerals of at least six Illinoisans killed in the Middle East. Protesting would not be allowed within 200 feet of funerals and memorial services while they're going on, and a half hour before and after. The American Civil Liberties Union and a union representing cemetery workers say the ban raises constitutional questions. Attorneys are going to the U.S. Supreme Court in an attempt to stop the execution of a convicted killer in Indiana at the state prison in Michigan City tonight. Attorneys for Marvin Bigler cite the Supreme Court's decision to take up a Florida case challenging lethal injection as cruel and unusual punishment. The state of Indiana is backing off in its war against the emerald ash borer. The Department of Natural Resources will no longer cut down and burn trees in infected areas. They'll shift to monitoring the pest instead and asking property owners to remove the trees on their own. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson and Morris at 815-941-3758. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL. I'm Todd Gleason. We're joined now by Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon again to you. And for the second time this week, Don, we appreciate you being with us.
Well, good to be here again.
I made note that the drought monitor was updated this morning from NOAA and U.S. Weather Services, and it shows the drought in Texas spreading deeper into Oklahoma and Missouri, and a very extreme drought in some of those areas. When you look at previous droughts, is there any pattern of the spread? And I guess what I'm looking at is the drought that continues in the northern part of the state of Illinois, and this large leg of a drought that's making its way across the state of Texas and into nearly Missouri now. It's up into the far northwestern corner of Arkansas.
Well, right. First of all, with droughts and wet periods and everything else, you never find two exactly alike. So it's hard to match what's going on now with something that exactly happened in the past, because sometimes the past can give us a little bit of a view of what's coming into the future. In terms of anything that we see developing right now in the short term, mid-range term, as we get into February and March, I would have to say, especially for Oklahoma and Texas, the pattern does seem to be favoring some better chances of precipitation. I also think areas of northwestern and northern Illinois have got some better chances of moisture coming our way as well. I think the better moisture, the heavier stuff to help with the drought, probably going to wait till late February or early March or April to come on in. The trend right now, the 30, the 60, the 90, the 120-day outlooks, call for temperatures to be above normal still, but the trend to be closer to normal for precipitation. So maybe it's reaching its worst point. There's no indication that it's going to get a lot worse, and that's the best we can go on right now is what we're looking at the next 60 to 90 days. There's no signature in the climate trends right now for excessive or real warm, dry weather coming back into there. So let's hope the worst is over.
Are droughts generally broken in the fall or in the spring?
Well, usually spring and summer is when you can sometimes break a drought. What is very frustrating about a drought is it's a vicious cycle, because the drier the ground gets, the harder it is for any evaporative situation where that moisture gets up into the air to help recycle it. Because a lot of the rain that falls, especially in the spring and summer, sometimes recycled. And so when the ground gets drier and drier, soil moisture gets poorer and poorer, it gets harder and harder to break the drought. So it's a vicious cycle. So the spring and summer is usually when you're able to break it.
Go from the drought areas of the United States. Tell me very quickly about Argentina and Brazil, and then I want to talk about those 20 below figures that are showing up and have been for quite some time in parts of the former Soviet bloc.
Okay, first of all, for what we're looking at in Argentina and Brazil, a lot like what we talked about on Tuesday. It's kind of a tale of two different countries and two different growing areas. Brazil, still looking at the best chances of rain and temperatures a little bit below normal. Argentina, much warmer and drier. That is a trend that's going to carry forward into the next 10 days to maybe the next 14 days. So in Argentina, some hot and dry spots, cooler and more moist in Brazil.
And then very quickly on the 20 below in parts of, I think, the growing regions even for wheat.
All of Europe and all of Russia, very, very cold. That trend is going to last at least another week. And we're also starting to see signs of some of that real cold air come into Alaska. In fact, there will be some areas of Alaska the next two nights that will be 40, 45 to 52 degrees below zero. We need to keep an eye on that, because if that cold air continues to move into Alaska and the Northwest Territories of Canada by next week, that could spell some colder temperatures for the United States in February.
Thanks much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
That's today's Closing Market Report. Be sure to join us again tomorrow for all our ag programming here on WILL AM 580. I'm Todd Gleason.